Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Live Love Group. At the real estate agency, everything real estate, they're the biggest, the largest in the Memphis area, and they can do it all, man. You want to sell your home, you want to make money for it, right? The most, you have to Live Love team. Conditions change. They always evolve, and Live Love's in front of them. They don't wait for the trends to happen. They're in front of those trends before they happen. So if you want to make the most money for your home, don't even think about listing your home before you have a conversation with the Live Love Group. So to LiveLoveMemphis.com.
Jennifer Carstensen, definitely a family friend, because what she did for us was more than business. It was more than just getting the most for my home and then helping us find a good home. She helped us find our dream home, a home that we'd be satisfied in and could stay in forever because, again, it was that good for us. She's not going to put you in a bad situation just so that she can be in a good one. That's not what we're talking about here. That's how you make it family. That's how you make it Memphis a better Memphis. And that's Jennifer's mission. 901-625-5200. They are the best. Give them a shot to show you. So Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. All right, so Penny Hardaway was out and about last night. I'll be honest, I don't know where it was.
It's a part of his golf tournament that's part of the Southern Heritage Classic weekend.
There we go. Boom. So he was out and about. Last night, talking about, I guess, you know, there was an event, there was a cocktail reception for that. And, yeah, the Penny Hardaway Memphis District Golf Classic. I wonder if Penny's watching the Ryder Cup. You think he's locked
Probably
in?
Probably is.
Yeah. Let's get, we need Penny out there. We're getting dusted, sounds like.
Yeah. For all reports are not good so far.
Damn, man. Letting us down.
No, maybe it's turned since I last looked, but it wasn't good this
time. No, I don't think it has. I don't think it's going very well at all. Maybe the you know, the next line of Ryder Cup, you know, hopefuls is in this golf classic. I don't know. But Penny Hardaway was, you know, that's Penny's very savvy. It's one of the things you've always said. And, you know, he's very efficient when it comes to his media stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got, I got to go to this event. Let's just do the media there. We don't have to have a press conference at the Lori Walton. You know, I don't want to have to do two things.
Knock it out.
Yeah, two birds, one stone. That is the Penny Hardaway way. And He had a lot of things to say. He had a lot of things to say about his team. Look, let's just call it what it is. We don't know a lot about this team. We know the names. We know, you know, some of them have done at their previous spots.
We know they're long. There is length here.
There's length.
That probably compares to any in terms of height,
yeah.
Length, you
yeah.
know, any team that he's had. Yeah, they're a big team.
Penny Hardaway had some interesting things to say about the quality of this team. And Parthi Pandya was there. Getting it all on video. Here's what Penny Hardaway had to say about his season.
Well, I mean, it's the second best roster fully from talent than, you know, the Jalen Duren and Imani Bates, DeAndre Williams and Landis. Now, that group was super. That should have been the Final Four team, honestly. We just couldn't get it right. But this is the second most talented team. Talent doesn't mean all, but it's definitely the second most talented team.
Over last year, over the David Jones, Javon Quinterly.
Yes, just depth. Now, we're not talking about the top 3, 4, 5. We're talking about them, 1 through 15. This is the most talented.
How do you – obviously, you're a point guard.
Second most talented, sorry.
Obviously, you're a point guard, but, you know, you got a lot of length on this team. So what's it been like to kind of coach these guys who are equal in size to you that are also ball dunking?
Yeah, it's really weird watching all this size because we've never been a team that has all this length from the guard spot. Doug McDaniels being 5'10 on a great day. And then the next guard jumps up to 6'4", and he goes up. So to have this much length has been a blessing. And it's really weird to see because, man, we're long, we're fast, we're athletic.
obviously with the house settlement, everything is the first time you're operating with 15 guys, you know, on the roster. Mm-hmm. Are there any challenges that come with that, with role allocation and pecking order and everything else when you got that many mouths to feed?
Yeah, for sure. But I think the way that we brought these guys in, there are a lot of guys that understand who they are. You know, you got your scorers, you got your hustle guys, you got your rebounders, shot blockers. And I think that's what this team has been put together on. I mean, it's not all offensive players. You know, we've gone out and got a ton of offensive players before, and that's when you start having the problems. Obviously, everybody should want to play, but at the end of the day, the cream is going to rise. The players that are going to go get it are going to rise, and I think this team is ready for every facet to be able to play multiple lineups, and the 15 is just guys that we can choose from and be ready to go.
When you see the non-conference schedule come out, does that just add more ANSI to get the season finally get going?
Yeah, for sure. For me, you know, we've always put all our eggs in that one basket with that non-conference because we feel like that gets us in the top 25, into the top 25 when we go and handle business. And this past year, we handled the business in the conference for the first time, and then we got injured going into the NCAA tournament, which sucks because that's another year not getting past the first round, and that's what I'm locked in on now. I'm locked in on March, man. Honestly, it's just, it doesn't matter the seed anymore. It's just about getting in and just doing damage. We'd love to be a 1-4. A 5 was great last year. We just didn't have the team to be the 5 because of two of my best defensive guards being out. But looking forward to just building all year and growing for March. I've always built for November, December. Now I'm really building for March.
You talk about the cream rising to the top. Who are some guys or a guy that has taken on that leadership role both on the court, off the court, locker room, everything else?
Yeah, the guys that have taken on the role has been Doug McDaniel and Zach Davis. Those two guys, for sure. You know, they're coming from the SEC and the Big 12. They understand what it's like. They've been in competition. They played against the best. So they've definitely been leaders.
There you go.
That was a jazzy press conference.
Very jazzy.
That was Maxwell playing. And I think that was old Bobby Caldwell there to start off.
Really?
What you won't do for love.
Oh, man. You know Penny what always going to do it right, bro.
They were jamming in there. I hate I missed the festivities. It sounded like it was a good time.
It sounded like it was that damn Grizzly video and they were promoting the jersey. He wrote a book called Basketball is Jazz.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Appreciate you quoting Coach Thorpe.
I love Coach Thorpe. And as Coach Thorpe would come on here and tell you, he loves Chris Vernon.
He also loves Cedric Howard, does he not?
I believe he did compare him to the cross between Jordan and LeBron. Yes.
Hope that comes, you know, to fruition.
I think he
can't wait.
I think he really did compare
him
to
Jordan.
No, that's
why I remember there was some coward Coach Thorpe talk.
Yeah.
And it was something we talked about, how high he was.
Yeah, yeah. So, very interesting.
Just get in March, and then we'll play based on whatever seed might be there.
Well, I think that's, you know, he kind of knows the writing's on the wall here. Like, it ain't going to be a top 4 seed season. I mean, that's, you know, that's not happening again. But I like to hear that he thinks this is the second most talented team he's ever had. I don't know if I would have said that. I don't know if I agree with that. But, I mean, it's his team. I mean, he's the one that put it together. He's the one that sees it in practice every day. So,
well, the only way it can be a bad thing is if he decides we're so good from top to bottom, 1-15, I'm going to play everybody. And in doing so, you lose track of roles. Roles aren't defined. There's bad chemistry. That's how it can go bad. Otherwise, of course, this is a good thing. Now, he said it in the end, the cream's going to rise to the top. But are you going to play all the cream and keep that the rotation? Are you going to get in some of the rest of the guys that aren't cream? Because I think that's where Penny historically has gotten himself in trouble. Is when those roles have been less defined when he's tried to play a lot of guys. Now, there's a time to play a lot of guys. Penny likes to press.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing he's done all the way through.
Yep.
And you cannot do that in the way he wants to and not wear your guys out unless you have great depth. And so, again, another reason to like what you hear here. Hopefully it's not just all offensive skill, but there's, you know, defensively these guys can get after it depth-wise as well. So, again, there's only one way this goes bad. It's if you want to play everybody.
Yep.
Because great college basketball teams, how many times have we been through this through Penny's tenure? They don't do this. You know, they keep to a set rotation. You find your guys. And, you know, as you make your way through the season, eventually you boil it down to them. So hopefully that's what we're looking at. And maybe that rotation is a little bit longer this year because you're more talented.
Yeah, no.
We'll see.
That's exactly right. I think there's a lot of intrigue, no doubt about it. We've kind of, you know, sort of, this is how we bottom line this roster the entire summer. It's just like there's a lot of intrigue and not entirely different than basically every other Penny team. If it comes together, if he finds out exactly who needs to do what and where, and you know what that best lineup looks like, then it can take off. I mean, that's you know, I think some of it's easy. I think you know, the wing is pretty easy if you have Sincere Parker in the mix, you know, and I guess he wasn't asked about that last night because there's no update until that next court date. So they're just proceeding as business as usual. But, you know, how do now I'll say this. When I saw the pictures of Tariq Ingram, mm-hmm. it looked like he's going to have to get in shape a little bit in terms of the when he committed. Like, you just look, he's going to have to, you know, which can happen very quickly, but it looked like he's not been necessarily playing all that much basketball since the season ended.
Did Dane come in great shape already?
I don't really remember. I don't think he came in you'd have to look. I mean,
I think I just recall some of that, right? Dane's going to get in, we're going to have Dane in the best shape or whatever. Yeah. And I'm sure there was some of that for him.
Yeah.
So this is not something new for Memphis, getting a guy in that's got to lose some weight.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the summer, like, it happens, you know what I mean? Like, you're not 100%. Playing basketball.
Dude,
like,
I like him kind of beefy because you don't have that.
Like, you see what I'm kind of getting at?
Yeah, but again, you don't have that body in anybody else. Like, some of that girth 100%. Is a good thing
because he's
bringing something else to the table.
Think about Kenneth Lofton at Houston.
100%,
you know?
Dude. And let's, I mean,
the
physical presence that Dane was last year, we're not saying Tariq becomes that. However, all you had was length, height, but no girth. Now you have that.
That's true.
And I feel a lot better about this roster and way more open to hearing Penny on this. Hey, top to bottom, we're pretty damn good mm-hmm. because of this latest addition.
Yeah.
Remember, at one point we were looking at center and saying, man, this ain't looking good.
Because
Bradshaw is more of a four. You guys are telling me he likes to be away from the basket, more face-up guy, doesn't like to mix it up as much. And we're saying, man, what they going to do? And so, again, to get this guy this late, it looks like you have the pieces you need. How it comes together and whether they fit is the question we'll see once the season begins.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. So it's a, I think it's going to be a fun year. I mean, I think, again, the goal is to win the American. The goal is to, be as good a seed as possible. I'd say stay afloat in the non-conference. My expectations are not 10-3. You know, if you go 7-6, that's totally fine. 8-5, totally fine. Good, even, I would say, at 8-5 with that, because a lot of road games this year. So I would say it's fine, you know. And I think it's really important because if Penny gets to the tournament this year and he wins the American this year, like, it's like at this point, then it's like on auto, right? It's just kind of like set up, it's default. Like, Memphis is going to go to the tournament every year.
I think that's why he can get games against Baylor mm-hmm. when he needs them. You know, mm-hmm. Louisville's willing to do the series that it's done because if he's not there already, John, he's right there. Yeah, that's why they're playing him. That's why they will agree to come to FedEx Forum, because you've built yourself into what many believe is what the country clearly believes is a tournament team every year.
Yeah.
Baylor ain't coming in here to play Memphis because they think they're going to be sorry. If they thought that, they wouldn't have scheduled the game. They know this isn't going to be a bad loss if they lose at Memphis. And that comes because you've built the program to a point, or I should say rebuilt it to a point where you command that kind of level of respect. And, you know, not easy to do when you haven't been to a Sweet 16 since 2009. But clearly, and Penny has said it, you have to put so much stock into that building that non-conference schedule and do as tough as you can make it because you get nothing in the AAC. Yeah, like you said, this year it seems like surviving it, 8-5, 7-6. You know, that seems like success to me.
Absolutely. So anyway, it's fun to think about. Season will be here before you know it. Got exhibition games next month, including against Arkansas. So. It's about to get here, man. It's about to get here. Basketball season in Memphis, and Penny Hardaway sounds excited.
Arkansas, and we'll play Lil Pearl, right?
Yeah, Lil Pearl. That's right.
And Auburn. That'd be Stephen Pearl. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
How about some Memphis football talk?
How about it, Coach?
Are y'all aware they're 4-0?
Who?
Now, we're not ranked.
Damn.
But we can be soon.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Thank you for that, Justin.
Hell yeah.
It gets me really in the mood.
Hell yeah. It's like an aphrodisiac, man. It's like Cialis. It really gets you in the mood.
Ready to go.
I mean, let's go.
I'm ready. And she'll like it too.
Bam.
Y'all
hymns.
That Frank Tyler. There you go.
Four hymns.
That's a joke. You may not know that reference. Anyway.
Pop you a hymns and turn on some Memphis football, man.
This is some news you will like. It's news that our boss and producer retweeted this morning. ESPN FBI says the top three contenders right now for the Group of Five college football playoff bid are Memphis, Old Dominion, and North Texas. And sweet music, and that FPI gives Memphis a 35.1% chance to be the representative. Look how much it drops off. Old Dominion, 14.7. That's from 35.1 for Memphis. North Texas, 13.6.
Yeah.
Memphis obviously has the win over Arkansas. They explained that Old Dominion did get the pretty dominant win over Virginia Tech, although that ain't saying much with where that program is. And then played Indiana close. North Texas has beat Washington State by 49. Now, obviously, there are other candidates in here, like a South Florida, which has knocked off Boise State and Florida. But to have Memphis this high, they were saying it during the game against Arkansas that the computers, and a lot of this is based on most of Memphis's tough American games are at home. I say most because East Carolina might be a tough one. You see what they did to Army last night, John?
Yeah.
East Carolina there might be a tough one. But that's the point. Your games are at home. You have an advantage in that, in facing South Florida at home and facing Tulane at home. And that, I think, is why the computers lean so hard your way. Now, you got to go out and do it. And a part of this is a team we haven't talked about, you know, this week's game, Florida Atlantic. Yeah, you can't have any letdowns, FAU. You can't have any letdowns whatsoever, obviously. It was last year after the Florida State win that you lost to Navy. Now, this is a different level of team. I'm not comparing this FAU team to Navy and what it was last year. But the point being, hey, you're celebrating, you're high. You know, you just knocked off Florida State. Similarly here with Arkansas, can't have a letdown game, and one that you think, just because the line's so big at 13.5, it's going to be an easy one for you. Hopefully that doesn't happen. We mentioned the line, 13.5, 6 p.m. is the game on ESPN2 on Saturday, tomorrow. And then I do think it's worth mentioning, you know, East Carolina, a game we looked at when we saw, you know, earlier this year, said, yeah, it's on the road. Memphis should be better. You probably chalked it up as a win. I think we're still doing that. But the antenna have to be a little bit more up after what they did to Army last night, and the fact that that game is sandwiched in between two very important ones as well. Your Tulane game on November 7th, and then that final regular season game, which I believe is on Thanksgiving against Navy. Yeah, it's November 27th on that Thursday. Right in the middle of that is a now seemingly very dangerous game at East Carolina. But good to have the computers with you. It's a spot, like we said. I said it to Jeff this morning. John, it kind of feels, and South Florida people will say, what the heck are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of feels like Ryan's back to the position he was last year after Florida State, where you're the pick to win the American.
Mm-hmm.
You're the pick to go. ESPN certainly thinks so.
Yeah.
And so that pressure, being the front runner, is back on you.
Yeah.
It's been here where you haven't performed. You know, you haven't seen it through. You didn't do that last year. So hopefully, again, in a year where – you got 70 new players, a whole new quarterback. We're saying, man, you couldn't get dumb Seth Hennigan. What you going to? Hopefully, it all comes together. It certainly has lined up so far, but nice to see.
Yeah,
good to see that ESPN is so high on the Tigers the rest of the way.
If you go to like Caesars, for example, Memphis is the favorite in terms of the group of five to make the playoff, a group of six or whatever it's now called, at 3-1, which is a 25% chance. So, you know, I think FPI is a little more optimistic about Memphis than the traditional sports books are. But, I mean, it's in that range, right? 25-35%.
Last time I talked to you about the books, though, Memphis, in terms of the American, was still lower. Is that what you're telling me, that it's changed in terms of making –
Well, it was weird because the playoff odds were always better than the conference odds. Mm-hmm. I can't explain why that was, because it doesn't make any sense that those two things would not be the same.
Wouldn't line up.
Like, if you have Memphis 3-1 to make the playoff, they should be 3-1 to win the American. Because you can't go to the playoff unless you win the
American.
That's
what my square brain tells me.
That's the way the rules work. I think they were just a misprice, bro. I think they just, you know, they just, for whatever reason, didn't align their numbers there, and they got a little confused. It's a lot, right? Like, it's kind of tough to price out all those futures and different machinations and things that could happen. East Carolina and Army played last night, so there's no American odds this week, right? They're already off the board. They won't be put back on the board until Monday, and we'll see, you know, what that will look like for Memphis. But if they win, I assume Memphis would probably still be, I think it'll be a three-way tie, assuming Tulane, South Florida, and Memphis all win. I think it'll be a three-way tie at the top. Listen, this has the chance, man. I mean, this has the chance to be a special season. We've sort of, the train ride has taken off, right? It's begun. And right now the destination, is potentially special season. However, that train got derailed last year in this exact spot, you know. Now,
FAU much worse team than Navy last year. That's what's going for you. But it, you know, whether you lose to, you know, you can lose to anybody and it doesn't matter. It's about the loss. It's not about the quality of team you lose to. It's about the loss. So and Memphis doesn't have to go undefeated. I mean, it feels like, you know, they can lose a game.
Yeah, I'm thinking one.
Yeah, but that's it.
Because, again, Tulane has the advantage of not playing.
Yeah.
South Florida Navy?
Right.
Yeah, it's
right.
Like.
Right.
That kills you.
I mean, it feels like tiebreakers are going. Because the problem with the American is, you know, and again, most of this will sort itself out. But, like, there's just no middle, right? It's really, really good at the top. But the middle of the league is, like, non-existent. It just goes from Memphis, Tulane, South Florida, and North Texas to, like, you know.
And Navy, for now.
I guess you're right. I guess there's a middle. Yeah, because East Carolina last night beat the hell out of Army.
Your top five are strong.
Maybe there's more of a middle than I'm giving them credit for. You know, it's not going to be a given for Memphis to win at East Carolina.
No.
You know?
28-6 last night. I know mentioned that they beat Army. That was the score they handled.
That's going to be a tough one.
After getting clocked by Army last year, that's the point, is that they're a different team.
But, you know, you're just going to have to work through it, right? Like, you know, North Texas is not going anywhere, it feels like to me. They got a stud quarterback. Mestemaker? Not the Messmaker. Mestemaker.
Yeah, where was he at the year before?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just know where he's at now.
Okay.
And luckily, you don't have to deal with him. You know, he's not your problem.
They couldn't make us play everybody. They've already got us playing South Florida Navy and Tulane.
Yeah.
And giving Tulane the break of not having to play South Florida Navy.
Yeah. But he is.
I think that's a killer.
He's a freshman, bro. Mestemaker.
Okay.
A redshirt freshman.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Not transferring from memory. I just assume everybody's transfers these days.
Yeah,
excuse
no, he was
me.
There last year.
Yep.
Well, you know, I think you do need to check your priors at the door.
Apparently so.
And you need to understand that there is continuity out here. 10 touchdowns, no picks, 1,000 yards for Mestemaker in, four games? Pretty amazing. Had, against Washington State, 4 touchdowns. Pretty damn good. You don't have to worry about it. But this will all sort itself out. I do think, like, we're going to have tiebreakers, though.
Bro, let me read you Tulane schedule.
Yeah.
Tulsa.
Mm.
East Carolina's at home for them.
Yep.
Army, which just lost to East Carolina. At UTSA, at Memphis, FAU, Temple, Charlotte. Bro, they're not losing more than the one game against Memphis.
Right.
They don't have to play South Florida and Navy. Yeah, Tulane has an incredible schedule advantage, and it's even more of an advantage now because the AAC has already put itself out there. It's already done the work to put itself in a position to be the best conference. The winner of it is getting the spot. And Tulane gets to benefit from not having to play the best like you do.
Absolutely.
They're not losing more than the one game here in Memphis. I can't see it. Ole Miss loss, who cares? They've still beat Duke and Northwestern. They're better than these bad American teams that they've got on the schedule.
So
that's a huge advantage, bro, because it feels like if that's the case, mm-hmm. it's you and South Florida playing for the other spot. You
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the tiebreakers are, right? I don't know, like... you know, does head-to-head come first? I don't remember.
You just better be sure you beat them. You just better be sure you beat them.
Yeah.
When they come in here.
No, I mean, it's
November 7th.
Well, it's non-negotiable, right? Like, you have to even give yourself a chance.
And
you know?
Beat them there last year? Was it there? I think it was there late in the
South
season.
South Florida, right? Yeah, but they're on their backup quarterback.
No, Tulane. You beat Tulane there. So I'm saying the revenge game.
But yeah, you beat both Tulane and South Florida there last year.
Yeah.
But again, different South Florida team because they didn't have Byron Brown at that point.
Well, I feel like what I'm saying is you don't want it to come down to you or South Florida.
No question.
And the way you avoid that is by beating Tulane.
Yes.
I'm saying for one or the other for that spot. You have to beat Tulane.
And then you have to hope somebody beats North Texas too, bro. Because that's the other part of this is like because you don't play them.
They don't even have North Texas.
Because you don't play North Texas, it's a problem. You know, like North Texas could beat South Florida on Friday, October the 10th at home, right? And that could be like, that could almost in many ways be.
We'll see about that. South Florida's defense real.
I'm not saying they will, but I'm saying if they do.
Yes.
If they do, it almost kind of guarantees them a spot because they don't play Tulane and they don't play Memphis. So, you know, and you get Navy at home. So I think North Texas, if they win on October the 10th, is in based on their schedule. I don't think they're losing a game.
because they have South Alabama at home tomorrow. They have South Florida next Friday at home. They have UTSA at home. They play at Stinky Charlotte. They get Navy at home. Then all they have to do is win at UAB and win at Rice.
Your identification of them, you know, it really is more important than the Tulane case I'm making, because like you're saying,
them.
ESPN and ESPN has North Texas third. They were the third in terms of best chance to make the college football playoff. It was Memphis, Old Dominion, North Texas.
That's right. Because
so
North Texas,
you point out,
North Texas is alone, bro. Like they're on an island.
Is.
Because like again, all they have to do is beat South Florida at home,
right?
And they're basically in. I mean, they have to play Navy on November the 1st.
Tulane's is similar, and all they've got to do is beat Memphis.
That's right.
At
that's
Memphis,
right. That's true.
And they're essentially in.
That is true.
But you're right, because the computers are saying clearly that you're right.
Yeah.
They like North Texas's path better.
I mean, that's kind of the
Tulane's.
Problem. This is the problem. Is like it does feel like, and again, credit they won at Army, although they caught some breaks. But it does feel like the league kind of set it up for them in terms of, I mean, I guess we could say the same about Memphis, though, getting Tulane at home, getting South Florida at home, not having to play North Texas. But you'd, I think, rather play North Texas.
But you still got
scenario.
Navy coming in. I mean, I know North, you know, I don't know that before the season we thought North Texas was going to be that good, if we're saying, to, you know, about the conference. They still made you play the three teams we thought were going to be the best.
Right,
even
right,
though
right.
you're getting them at home.
Yeah, North Texas kind of was a surprise.
Yeah, they were the surprise.
Yeah.
So they didn't
and, you
do
know,
you
that's any. The hard part is like.
But they gave Tulane favor by not having to play South Florida Navy.
And then it's just like, you know, none of these games for North Texas are on the road, right? Like they don't have to go to Navy, they don't have to go to UTSA. They just get all these games at home, and they have Temple at home at the end of the season.
We need to start rooting for North Texas losses.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And it doesn't really matter to who.
No, it doesn't matter to who.
I guess you would prefer it to be to South Florida. I don't
care
if it matters.
No, it's not going to matter who it is.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody in that loss column.
Yeah.
You just need multiple.
But you'd like, you know, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's kind of set up for North Texas to be like a representative in the conference championship game.
With that schedule.
Unfortunately, there's only two spots, you know. I mean, we could have four or five teams at the top of this thing that are like very much deserving, that may have one loss. But like North Texas has the inside track to being undefeated because of their schedule.
Are we saying it's going to be hard for South Florida and Memphis to meet with all this because of how easy it is?
In the AAC championship?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of how easy it is.
I would say that's very much.
For Tulane and North Texas.
That's a huge underdog.
It is sort of a one-off.
Yeah.
Between us and
them.
It kind of feels like with the paths that are before
them. Unless North Texas does something that we don't think they can, you know, I mean, who knows?
Unless they just drop the ball.
I mean, I have not watched. I mean, they were very lucky to beat Army, it sounds like. You know, they beat Western Michigan by a field goal in overtime.
They could fall off.
Yeah, I mean, they
lose some of these.
I don't think they. Again, I haven't watched them. I just know the quarterback is really good. But he's a retro freshman. I mean, he's not invincible.
We need him to fall off.
But yeah, you need him to lose to anybody. UTSA, right? That was supposed to be a team that contended.
It was supposed to be offensively.
So you know, you need UTSA to stand up and do something. You know,
it's gonna be fun. Is what it's gonna be.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy the race.
You're in the middle of this thing, and your path is clear. You know, win the damn thing.
Yeah, because you don't know how long it'll last, how long you stay in the race. I mean, it was this week last year that you fell out of the race. So hopefully that streak is broken.
Kind of, yeah. 3-0, 4-0, but yes, same thing.
Right.
Because you're coming off the big power.
Yeah, 4-0. Yeah, no, 4-0 is definitely further along than 3-0.
It's 1 week further along than we were last year. It's the same spot, though.
Right.
You're coming off the P4 win.
Absolutely right. So, anyway, it should be a great weekend following all the results. You know, that's how we used to, you know, do it back in the day. You know, not that Memphis was ever really that serious, but you know, I remember when they were 8-0 that year in 2016. You know, hey, what do I need to have happen this weekend? Who do I need to lose? You know, like
yeah, there's good teams in the American this year, so it's tougher to figure out, but it'll be more fun hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely,
getting down to the bottom of it.
Yeah, NFL action this weekend. We've got the Seattle Seahawks with the win last night on Thursday Night Football. Kind of nuts to me that even became competitive. Two fourth-quarter touchdowns from the Arizona offense made that possible. And then it came down to that kick. It came down to that kick from Ryland, who did not get the ball past 20. He tried. He was trying to, you know, finagle it. Some teams have really perfected this. There's two teams in particular that have perfected the kickoff. It's the Rams, everybody knows about, because Cardi changes his kick for these kickoffs.
Yep, know about that one. What's
and then there's the Panthers.
the Panthers are the two teams that are way above everybody else in terms of average starting field position for opponent. I actually have the list here. So the average opponent drive start for the Panthers, they're actually number one in the league.
They've passed the Rams.
Yeah, okay. It's 21.08 yard line. The Rams are second at the 21.65 yard line. So obviously, you know, they are the best by far.
Does it fall off from there?
It falls off pretty quickly, yes. The third best is the 26-yard line.
Five-yard difference.
I mean, this is a game of inches. That's a lot of inches.
Yeah. Especially you're talking about getting in the field, you know, field goal range, whatever else.
I would say for the most part, is there a correlation between average opponent drive start and quality of team? Not necessarily yet, because, you know, the Panthers stink. And they have the best kickoff coverage in the NFL. So it really hasn't helped them. The 49ers are undefeated. They have the worst. They're last in the league at average opponent drive start at the 33.8 yard line.
How much of it is your special teams, and how much of it is just strictly on your kicker hitting the mark
I think it's probably both.
Because Carolina's kicker's good. I'm assuming he's putting in a spot. The Rams' kickoff guy is good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it, right? You're right. Your coverage team and the talent level on it is a part of the field position start for the other team. But
yeah,
it's more. It seems like those two kickers have separated themselves from the others, and just in terms of hitting their marks.
Yeah, no.
Because if you're starting from deeper, right?
Yes.
That helps you too with terms of that coverage team.
No, I think ultimately, you know, you have to be able to get the ball to the one.
This is awesome. I think in a way, it's made it more interesting. Kickers now have to add another skill to their field goal accuracy, and that skill that you're working on all week long,
yes,
which is hitting this mark.
Yes.
And you have to have it. And, Frank, I mean, last night, it cost you a game if you were Arizona, or at least the chance to win the game in overtime, because he missed the mark.
Yep.
And you, I mean, think about how those Cardinals, after scoring two fourth quarter touchdowns, feel about their kicker today.
Yep.
Because it really was all on him. And so that's what I'm saying. Every team is going to, and Gabe said a version of this, they're going to look at the Rams and Carolina's kickers and say, man, this is the way you got to do it. And your kicker's going to spend, you know, 50%, maybe a little less, but going to have to start spending more, especially if he's bad at it, more time on hitting that mark. I'd just have him over there on the practice field all day long, and I want to see it. You know, hey, you better do it 7 out of 10 times, man, because this can cost us the ball game. I think it just adds another skill that you must have in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Makes it. You know, I'll probably lose this way, and I'll hate it, but it does bring more intrigue to it.
Well, it does, and like, because usually you could just like leave the room during the kickoff, right? Like, you just knew it didn't matter. You're going to start at the 25, and every drive was going to start like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter. Late game doesn't matter. Now it absolutely matters. I mean, it cost you because your kicker didn't do the right thing, you know, against the Vikings.
Well, that's true. He couldn't get it through on that one. He needed to not have any time run off the clock, so kick it through the end zone.
That's exactly right.
Oh, and that we need to preserve time.
Now, that wasn't really about the new rules as much as it was just not having the strength.
Weak-legged kicker. Yes.
Yeah, but, you know, there's going to be more games like this where, you know, where that starting field position winds up being, because the truth of the matter is that not only are the rules more kind of radical than ever on this, I mean, starting at the freaking 40, you know, when you don't get it to the 20.
It just takes one pass getting field goal range.
I mean, and it's that, and it's the fact that these kickers are, like, better than ever, it feels like.
I know. It feels like everybody's got one but the Bears. Like, they can all hit from 55.
50,
60.
Dude, 55 is, like, the new 45 now.
Yes. Well said.
You know, like, it's just an automatic. You're not even thinking about punting. You're not even thinking about, you know, going for it. You're just going to bring your kicker out there, and he's going to probably make it. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's good for the game, if that's bad for the game. I do think that if we accept that that's the case, which I think we should, if we look around the league and see the percentages and the average field goal distance and percentages on those 50-plus yarders, we need to change the rules back. Okay? We need to change. We can't be starting drives at the 35.
Interesting. That's
when the kickers are as good as they are.
Better,
you know?
And they're
like,
kicking from deeper.
Like, I think there needs to be, like, more onus on – if you're going to get three, we're not just going to hand you 3 points. Because
but the NFL wants the points.
They want the – I mean, they do. You're right. I mean, that's true. But competitively, you know, I feel like I'm giving you three.
What you're saying. You know, I think you made a great point.
I mean, it, look, it, maybe it all comes out in the wash because every team gets the same benefit. But,
You know, I don't know. Like,
is this accuracy thing in the? You know, I know they're kicking from deeper. That's real. I see it with my eyeballs. But are we that much more accurate? Have kickers taken two steps forward all of a sudden? Like, we'd need to see the numbers, and the NFL certainly would, before it's going to make any change like that. Because ultimately, it's just going to lead to more scoring, which the NFL, you know, they already lean offense anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to
more finishes like last night.
Yeah, so I mean, again, I put this in Gemini because this is a good test case for AI. But they tell me, AI tells me that NFL kickers have gotten significantly better with their accuracy, especially on long distance kicks, 50 plus yards, nearly doubling in recent decades, and overall accuracy reaching historic highs around 84% to 85% in the 2024 season. So, you know.
So this is even better. It was better last year. This isn't just this year. It started, you know, they said 2024.
Kicks right. From 50 or more yards now have a success rate of around 75%.
Wow.
According to Gemini. The 5-year average is 84%, which is kind of nuts. I mean, that's pretty damn good for the average.
That is.
Again, I don't know. I don't have that all broken out, you know, in terms of 50 plus yarders, but it does feel like, I mean, Boswell hit that 60 yarder against the Jets in week one. Cam, the Jags dude, hit 70 in the preseason. I think he hit another 60-plus yarder the other, like, a week or two ago. I mean, it's just like it's just becoming automatic. And I don't know. You're right. I do think, like, they want excitement. They want long kicks.
They want finishes like last night.
I mean, the Rams ending was off of a kick. I don't know how long, I don't remember how long it was. But obviously, the longer it is, the better chance it has of getting blocked and that happening. So maybe they're cool with it. But I don't know, just as a fan, like it doesn't feel nearly as comfortable as it used to when you were up 3 with a minute left.
Oh, no.
You know? I mean,
think about better have that kicker hit his mark. That's what it comes down to.
Think about this. Like the great Patrick Mahomes comeback, right, against the Bills in the playoffs when he had 13 seconds left. That would happen easily today because you're getting the ball at the freaking 35. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's one pass.
Right.
You know, the fact that Mahomes did that when you started at the 25 – was nuts. I mean, that's insane to do that with 13 seconds left. And I think we'll see more of those, right?
Yeah.
Like you go up 13 seconds, that's all right. We got a timeout, we good. All we got to do is make one play, and we're in range to at least try to tie this thing up.
And you'll also see, to counter that, more teams running it down, understanding that we can't leave any time on the clock, John. There will be that adjustment as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to.
Yes. Yeah, so anyway, Thursday Night Football was fun. In terms of this weekend, we do get our first European game. We're going to Dublin. It's going to be Steelers and Vikings, 8:30 on Sunday. Yes?
Yeah.
A little intriguing, right?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, Vikings were very impressive, and it wasn't just their defense. Carson Wentz looked good.
Yes.
So that's maybe they are a team that can stay among the elite in the NFC.
Perhaps so. Eagles Bucks. I'm on the Eagles -3 here. Although it does sound like the Bucks are going to get back some key pieces. Tristan Wirfs going to make his debut. Chris Godwin likely to make his debut. So you know that's.
I don't have it in front of me, but Jalen Hurts apparently very bad against the Buccaneers.
Oh really?
Heard his record's not good. That might be something you want to look into.
Well, it's a little late.
Because I could feel. Oh, is it?
I've already put it in. I mean, I will look into it, but
too late.
Yeah, he's 1-4 against the Bucs, including the playoffs.
Heard that this morning.
That's his most losses versus any team. The Buccaneers are 15-6 against the spread as dogs. It's the best record in the NFL in that span since 2023.
They said it's bowls and his blitzes.
Yeah. Let's see other games. I mean, the Jackson Dart debut, I mean, that's worth watching. You know, you get the unstoppable Chargers coming to town.
It's tough. Tall order on his first game. Truly is.
Yes, it is. Quarterbacks making their first career start against the Chargers are 3-17 since 1967. That is just not the team you want to debut against.
Not that secondary. They're ball hawks. They make plays.
Yeah.
They get pressure. That front seven of theirs. What was the deal on Mac? What is his status?
He's out for a while? He's just out for a little while. Okay. I think he broke his elbow or something.
But he'll be back.
But yeah, he will be back.
That's key.
I mean, that just makes him a Super Bowl contender to me.
Dude, Chargers might win that division.
They're a huge favorite right now, I'd say.
Sure.
Let's see what else. Commanders, Falcons, no Jaden Daniels, it sounds like. No Terry McLaurin. That's a bummer for them.
Man, I need this breakdown on Raiders, Bears, bro. The whole city's waiting.
I'm just working my way down the list here.
Oh, okay.
That's the biggest game of the week. Titans at Texans. Two 0-3 teams. I mean, somebody has to win or not. I guess it could be a tie.
CJ does not look like the same dude. I tuned in a little bit last week. Ooh.
Legarius Sneed was asked about Nico Collins, and he said who. And then Nico Collins was asked about Sneed asking who, and he said he knows who I am. So,
wow.
That will be a fun little matchup there. Texans have not scored 20 points in a game yet this season. So, the last time they have scored less than 20 points in each of the first four games was their first season in Houston, 2002, with old David Carr. You remember him?
Yeah.
Colts-Rams is a fun one. 3-0 versus 2-1. Who would have thought the 3-0 side was the Colts? I'm on the Rams here. Devontae Adams has not practiced. Don't love that. But I don't believe Daniel Jones. Come on, bro. I don't buy it at
Rams
all.
Rams defense will bring him back down
early. Let's do it. Let's do it, man. Ravens-Chiefs. Somebody's going to 1-3. How about that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Chiefs.
That is nuts. That is nuts. The Ravens have scored 111 points this year, which is the most by a team with a losing record through three games in NFL history.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty crazy, man, you have to say. I don't know. I mean, I'd feel a lot better about the Chiefs if they had their pieces. Mm-hmm. They don't. So I don't feel good about them. Although, you know, the Ravens will be down a couple of guys, too.
Do you have a half body Xavier Worthy, or has he been ruled out?
I think he's going to try to play.
Yeah, I thought he was getting back, yeah. But I didn't figure. I knew he's not 100%.
Yeah. Biggest game of the week, Bears at Raiders. Somebody going to 1-3 in this game.
Season over.
325. It will be the end of the season, most likely, for one of these teams. Last week was the first game of Caleb Williams' career where he was not sacked.
Yeah, 20 games.
So there you have it. The Raiders stink. They're a bottom five team, in my opinion.
How's your D? Oh, that's what I need to know.
My D?
Can you create pressure? Will you get sacks?
Oh, I'm
because if
I'm
you don't
creating pressure with
if you don't beat Dallas, the only team to have never sacked Caleb Williams, that everybody else does. Literally, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So if y'all can't get sacks, it'll be another great day for Caleb.
Yeah.
Max Crosby.
I don't think our defense is great, to be honest.
Okay, good.
I think it's just kind of a team defense, and it's, you know, it stinks. Everything stinks. So anyway,
stay that way.
NFL Week 4 kicks off on Sunday. Well, I guess it kicked off last night. It'll restart and resume on Sunday. Should be a fun week.
I want to give a Friday respect burger to a man who has long deserved it and probably gets overlooked quite a bit, just in terms of when we talk about great Memphians, guys that have done a lot for the city. His name's Fred Jones. 77 years old. Founder of the Southern Heritage Classic. I mean, I just lost my dad at 75. Fred Jones still working at 77.
Amazing.
And again, it's not just working for himself. The Southern Heritage Classic is big for the city. And in a time where Tennessee State, you know, you've already lost Jackson State. You lose Tennessee State because I don't know if you guys saw the news, but Tennessee State, you know, announced it pretty much last winter that they're broke. They don't have any money, can't pay the fee, can't come. And so it left Fred Jones scrambling again in terms of trying to find a replacement. Now, again, I tell you, Fred's 77, man.
Mm-hmm.
He could hang it up. There's another reason this should matter. It matters to the University of Memphis because every game in that building now is those are tenants.
Yep.
Understand? That's not city-owned. Anymore. That control has been passed over. So really this applies, it's of interest to the University of Memphis as well. You want this event to go on. You want the place to be packed. And Fred has gone about the business of continuing it, putting it on for the 36th year. It'll go down tomorrow, and you've got Alcorn State this year against Pine Bluff, and Alcorn State will be replacing Tennessee State. And, you know, while this comes and goes, you know, we got a lot of folks that don't pay any attention whatsoever can understand that completely. This is huge for not just the schools involved, but for the city as well. Remember, these butts and seats, a lot of these times, these folks are coming from out of town. That's hotel rooms and everything else. And so the fact that Fred has continued to do this year after year is a benefit for the city that we should never take for granted. So
I agree.
I, for one, just want to extend him a thank you for his continued work on this. Again, it's not just good for the University of Memphis having the game there as a tenant this week. It's good for the city. This is hotel rooms. This is restaurants. You know, it's good all around. And Fred continues to put it together.
Yeah.
Even having to adjust year after year, seemingly. Hopefully you can maybe get it back. You know, he talked about it in the story. DeMichael Cole did a story about it over at CommercialAppeal.com that I suggest you read. You know, He kind of said, man, I don't want to think about trying to get them back because we've got a great game right now, right here. But it might have to be on a year-to-year basis going forward. And for as long as he wants to do it, I think we should all be appreciative. But respect, Burger, Fred Jones, a hero of the city of Memphis that continues to put the Southern Heritage Class together, go down tomorrow at Simmons Bank.
Well, this is a, you know, it's a passion project, right? I mean, I know that, you know, you do it for a lot of reasons, but I think the biggest reason is that, you know, you have passion for the city and the community and this event. I don't think anybody's necessarily getting rich off of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, to continue to do it, to treat it, you know, with the importance, you know, obviously that Fred Jones is, you know, I think it says a lot about sort of how he feels about Memphis and this event. So I'm glad it's happening, and I hope that people have a good time. So congrats to all involved. We'll come back. Part of the Pod Guy is going to join us from the Daily Memphian. We will talk to him about Petty's comments last night. Does he agree? All that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.5 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, ma'am. All right, you know, in Memphis, when we get anything new, like, you know, any the smallest thing, you know, we'd like to point it out and talk about it. You know, we like new and shiny things in Memphis. And you brought it to my attention. I didn't know about this, but there's a brand new Chick-fil-A in Uptown. Where's this at?
I believe that's, yeah, it's like down. It's across from St. Jude. You call it Downtown, Uptown. I'm not
Downtown,
exactly.
Uptown, Uptown, Downtown, Charlie Brown, Downtown.
Yeah. Whatever that means, bro.
Anyway, we got a new Chick-fil-A.
Dominic would say.
We got a new Chick-fil-A, man. We got a new Chick-fil-A. This is huge news.
Why is it funny? That's why you're laughing about
because,
it.
No, I mean, it's like.
Because I feel like you're laughing because you don't feel like it should be news.
No, I don't know.
Is that what I'm feeling? Right or no?
No, I think it's.
Tell me it's wrong.
I think it's huge news for the operator.
Chick-fil-A is no laughing matter.
No, I think it's huge news for the operator. There's no doubt about that. Whoever's running that thing, it's big news. Because it's apparently very difficult to become a franchisee of the Chick-fil-A brand.
I bet it is, because it means you're in the circle of success. You
right.
Just anybody don't get in that.
Yeah, like, you know, I remember David Cobb's wife, she got this done. He tweeted about it, and he said he was so proud of his wife, who persevered for years to turn a dream into reality. Like you get drafted damn near by an NFL team or an NBA team. She's operating a Chick-fil-A in Kentucky this fall. I don't know if that's like this fall, but it seems like, you know, moving forward, starting this fall. So, you know, congratulations to whoever's in charge of it, because it's just
CC Glenn.
CC Glenn.
She's the, it's locally owned and operated.
Oh my goodness.
And she's the woman who owns it.
Oh
black,
my goodness.
Black owned. It's a
black
great thing
owned
for the city.
Chick-fil-A.
But the fact that for you, whether, you know,
this is huge.
Locally owned. That's what matters.
I want to go support. I want to go buy some Chick-fil-A from there.
There you go. I've seen the pictures. I mean, she's down there the first couple of days.
Wow.
Sure.
Wow. She looks like a very esteemed woman. And, you know, now you can add this brand new chick. Our man, Dennis Fuller.
I said it's Uptown because it's 550 Uptown Street.
Got it.
Across from St. Jude.
Got it. No, man.
You mentioned Dennis Fuller was there.
Shout out to Dennis Fuller. We love and miss you every day. But we're glad that, you know, you're able to enjoy the smaller things in life, which smaller is not the right way to put it. It's a big deal when you get a new Chick-fil-A.
Bro, born and raised in Memphis, CeCe Glenn's love for Chick-fil-A began at just 7 years old when she enjoyed her first Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich with her parents at the Mall of Memphis.
That's awesome. I didn't know the Mall of Memphis had a Chick-fil-A.
It did. Now I recall it did.
Yeah.
That's where it all started.
I applied for Chick-fil-A and I did not get the job. Because
they knew your history at the Cookie Factory.
That was
Taco Bell.
Was before I was 15. You know, the Chick-fil-A was the only place that would hire at 15.
And they do hire children. Don't
they? They hire children. And I, you know what, in retrospect.
Is that legal?
The decision makers were correct. Yeah, I don't know. But it was like, you know, that was the only place you could work when you had to wait till you were 16 to work everybody to work everywhere else. Yeah. I think you know, the Lord will allow you a year earlier, I think is the idea.
I'm going to be checking on that because I got an 11-year-old.
Yeah. I don't think 11, you're going to have to wait till 15, but it'll be here before you know it. But in retrospect, I think it was the right choice. I would not have been the a great fit, you know, having to say my pleasure every time, big smile, you know. I'm not really all that happy to be there, you know.
Bro, you're the kind of fast food worker that wipes a bun on his butt and then gives it to somebody. Nobody wants you in there. Come on. With your antics.
I don't think I would do that, bro. I don't think I would wipe it on my
stop.
Butt,
somebody,
bro.
Somebody, I'm not saying you pulled your pants down, but you know you do it. Somebody made you mad on your little drive-through order, talked bad to you.
That's crazy.
I think that's why you didn't last in the fast food industry.
No, I didn't
you're
last.
You're untrustworthy.
I got put on the grease trap, you know, and that was the end.
It's where you belong.
Now, I did come to find out that the owner and operator of Debo's, where I did get put on the grease trap, has blocked me on Twitter. And I'm not sure if that's because, you know, what I've talked about of my experience there, you know, I hate that that's the way this went. I got put on the grease trap, you know, there's just no way around it. And I quit the next day. So, you know, it's just, that's just my life. But I don't know if Chick-fil-A has those. Seems like, you know, that those get, you know, handled by the Lord. I don't know.
Grease traps?
Yeah. But you know, the Chick-fil-A grease traps are different. They're beautiful. They're
well, they stay
pristine.
Clean.
That's exactly right. But we got another one. We got a new one, and again, it's financial freedom, isn't it? I mean, if you get one of these,
I would think so.
I mean,
I don't see too many of them shutting down.
And the location's pretty good. Like, would you say like it's like good?
It's across from St. Jude. That should be all I have to say. You've got all their workers coming over, saying, "I got Chick-fil-A right here. I don't have to go into Midtown to get it."
That's right.
I mean, it's St. Jude ain't going anywhere, is it?
I don't think so.
Going to be there forever, bro.
The only one I know of, like, is in there one on Union, and they're like,
"That's what I'm talking about going into Midtown."
Yeah, yeah.
You would have had to do that.
Yeah.
If you're a St. Jude worker, you'd have had to go there. I'm pretty assuming that's the closest one. Might be another one closer. Now you don't. You're right across the street. I mean, that is constant business. It's constant success. I'm not seeing one of these go out of business. Maybe the Mall of Memphis one because the Mall of Memphis shut down.
Yeah, the mall closed, right?
Didn't have anything to do with the success of that place.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a rarity. Those things operate forever.
And they do it not even operating on Sundays. It's pretty amazing the phenomenon that Chick-fil-A continues
Six
to be.
Days a week. I mean, I think that adds, though, to the allure. It's like, you know, it's not open on Sunday, so you just can't take it for granted. You got to go Saturday if you want it.
And I think you're right that it does add to it.
You know,
in whatever way people view it. Yes,
right.
It does.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.